Gentlemen, and welcome to minute 102 of season 10 of Movie Room, Minute the Daily Podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Robert Smith of the Support Your Local podcast. Welcome back to the show, Robert.
Thank you for having me once again. I continue. I had to come back just to defend my streak on movie trivia. Let's go.
Well, you know, you shouldn't get too cocky. Because, you know, tomorrow you're going to get 5 trivia questions. So we'll see what that one goes.
And you know, I'm excited. That means I'm guaranteed a tomorrow. I appreciate that. Nice.
Yes. Well, as of now, you're guaranteed. Unless you know, there's any types of... unnatural or natural events like you know, floods, plagues, locusts, things like that.
Not that those things happen to any of us at any particular time trying to get this show.
Never.
Sure. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, if it doesn't happen, then that's perfect. That's the way it works. All right. So minute 102 begins with Green continuing to get even angrier and ends with the ending of the credits of the cast. So we're now in the final throngs of this movie, and you know, we ended things yesterday with Green starting to let himself go and yell at both Garber and Rico for basically bothering him. You know, and the last thing he said yesterday was, "I want a little piece." And he continues today with saying, "Just do me a little favor, will you? Get the hell out of here." So again, it's you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. It's just really funny how, you know, he's basically grown a pair at this point. You know, now that they're leaving, right. Up until now, you know, it didn't bother him. You know, he was obviously concerned about getting caught and everything like that, but he was being complacent. And now that they're leaving and they're standing in the doorway, he starts, you know, getting more forceful about the fact that he wants them to leave. You know, to me, it's just really funny. Someone is leaving and now you're yelling at them to leave. You know, it doesn't really make much sense, but,
right.
You know, I think it goes with the character of Green because he's been a very docile character the entire movie. So finally, he's reached the point where he's able to lash out.
Right. Well, he's finally reached the point where he thinks he's gotten away with it. You know, it's the threat is leaving. They don't think that he's done. They didn't see what happened. He escaped from the oven situation. He escaped from the bundle of money, whether that was real or not. It's again, as I mentioned, I think it was yesterday. It's that release of that adrenaline. You know, he has this built up adrenaline from the situation and it has to come out, and it's going to come out in the form of what you accused me of earlier of cockiness and, you know, assuredness of, and it's the perfect build up to what's going to, you know, spoiler, be his gotcha, his downfall.
That's right. I mean, one of the things that I like about this is the fact that you'd think that most people would just say, "Okay, let's quit while we're ahead." They're leaving. That's it. Forget about it. You're fine. But he's not. You know, and he continues to, you know, to yell at them. And you know, Garber then says, "Well, sorry if we bothered you, Mr. Longman." And he goes, "Come on, Rico." And they go to close the door. And then, you know, we see as the door's about to be closed, we see that Green has a huge sneeze coming on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not a good thing for him. You'd think that he would have tried to do something. Now, before we continue talking about this, I have a question for you. Do you know ways of trying to stop a sneeze?
Is it looking up?
I mean, there's a lot of different ways.
That's the way I'd always heard. So if you look up. Or no, that's if you look up in the sun, it makes you sneeze. I don't know. I give up.
Okay, so there are certain techniques that you can use. If you press your tongue against the roof of your mouth or between your front teeth, it will sometimes disrupt the sneeze reflex.
Now, see, I'd always heard that for a ice cream headache, doing that for that. I've never heard the sneeze one. That's interesting.
Okay. Again, I'm not an expert on this. This
well, no. I'm no doctor. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, but no, I wasn't questioning that. That was just interesting that that's the same thing I had heard about an ice cream headache.
Oh, okay. So you can sneeze while you have an ice cream headache and stop them both at the same time.
Yeah, it's like two birds, one stone. It's beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. If you press firmly on the philtrum, which is the groove above the upper lip.
Okay. So I was going to say, are you allowed to do some of these things in public? I'm not sure what that was. Okay, but yes.
Exactly. if you pinch your nose, you're supposed to gently pinch your nostrils or the bridge of your nose near the top to stifle a sneeze, as it's about to happen.
Yeah, but if you do that and you do it too hard, you'll still sneeze and you'll blow your eardrums out.
Possibly. It's very possible. Sometimes if you blow your nose at the same time, it'll stop the sneeze from coming.
That one sounds too cheat, Cody, to me. I think if you're blowing your nose, you're just doing a really fast sneeze.
Right.
I'm calling shenanigans on that one. I'm sorry. I agree.
Is sneezing if someone says this isn't even on the list. I think sometimes it's like if you say to somebody, bless you or gesundheit before it happens, that sometimes stifles the sneeze.
I can attest to that. When my kids, myself and all of my kids, we all have the habit where if we sneeze, we're sneezing at least 3 or 4 times. Like that, it's just happening. And I have empirical evidence throughout our lives that when they're getting ready for the second or third sneeze, that if you say bless you beforehand, it completely stops them in their tracks and they will get mad.
Okay. And the final thing written on this list is distract yourself. Try a strong sensory distraction, like biting your tongue lightly or thinking of a very sour taste, such as a lemon or something like that. Again, I don't know if that would really work or not, but it's interesting to have these type of things.
Right. Well, I mean, as we're recording this, we're getting ready to go into cold and allergy season. Let's test it. We'll get back to you guys.
Okay. Sounds good. So they close the door completely as the sneeze is. Comes out, mm-hmm. and Green then covers his nose, thinking to himself for a fraction of a second that he's gotten away with it. Mm-hmm. And then the door opens slightly, so I guess it's a good thing it's one of those doors that you can reopen very easily, and you don't need to, it doesn't automatically lock when you close it.
Right.
And then we get a shot of Garber's face as he just peeks in through the crack of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looks over and goes, gesundheit.
So as promised, I said this on Monday, you had said that it was the perfect ending. And you're kind of glad that they didn't go the Columbo route. Here's where I have to say, me personally, I think that is the perfect Columbo moment. It is, on face value to me, it's the aha gotcha moment of, oh, okay, this is the guy that was sneezing during the hijacking, and I said gesundheit to him then, therefore this is the guy, we've got him, and he's giving the look of I gotcha. It's a perfect, like, that's when they would do the still frame at the end of the Columbo episode and everybody would go off happy knowing that the murderer has been caught. However, on kind of more of a thinking it through situation, not on face value where you just leave after the movie's done, the guy sneezed. We've had at least the mayor that I can think of off the top of my head in the movie going through having a flu and cold. This guy has a flu and cold. We're in the time of year where everybody's bundled up in coats. Like, this is New York City with millions and millions of people, and it's cold and flu season. I stand on this, that just because a guy sneezed doesn't make him the guy that was sneezing during the movie, during the hijacking. It's not a ironclad aha moment to me.
Okay. I can understand that. So what you're saying is that maybe the mayor is the one who actually perpetrated the crime.
I'm saying it could have been one of millions of people.
Yes.
But he spoke to the mayor too, who was having a flu attack. Garber never spoke to the mayor. That's fair. We as the audience know that there was more people that were sick than just that guy.
Correct. That's true. But again, maybe, you know, throughout the course of the movie, I think it was like three times it was peppered around that, that he kept saying Gesundheit to the fact mm-hmm. that Green kept sneezing. But I think for him, this was the thing that tips the scale.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he started seeing how Green was reacting towards the end here. Mm-hmm. And then the sneeze was the one that, oh, wait a second, let's put this together. This guy's acting very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is. Maybe this is the same guy. You know, going back to what we talked about the other day, this is the reason why I don't believe that that Garber noticed the money on the floor and was just mm-hmm. biding his time. Because if he would have noticed the money on the floor and he said, okay, I'm just going to come back with a warrant, he wouldn't have opened the door here either. He would have just still come back with a warrant. You know, he might have left Rico standing at the door to make sure
that we can
follow him or something like that. But
right.
Yeah,
that was gonna be my pushback on that. I was like, he would still do it. He would just have Rico watch the door in case he tried to leave with the money. But to me, it's interesting that we have that different point of view, because to me it's the crystal clear moment for me that he did see the money, because this was now, from my perspective, it was, he saw the money, he's leading them on, he's just going through the motions to get out of there so they can go and get a warrant. And him say, okay, well, you know, we'll be back, you take care now, we're totally going to leave now. And then him sneezing, him looking in and going, Gesundheit, is the, I gotcha. Like, it's him revealing that I know that money was sitting there. Because to me, if it, go back to my Columbo thing, just to explain for people that don't know the Columbo thing, we as podcasters, we all know the Columbo thing, but for the Columbo thing, there are several episodes of Columbo where the gotcha moment would never hold up in court for like 5 seconds. If you go back and actually think about it, that's what this is to me. If Walter Matthau was, or excuse me, Garber, if Garber was the one that was sneezing throughout the interactions, and Green being the polite hijacker, not murderer, would say Gesundheit, I could buy it as a gotcha moment, where as Walter Matthau was walking out the door, he sneezed, Green just out of being a polite person said Gesundheit, and he recognized the voice, the tone, you know, the way he says it, all that, and then goes back in and looks and goes, aha, I gotcha. I could buy that one. But with him just sneezing and being cold and flu season, I don't buy that part. That's where I firmly stand on the, he knew all along that money was sitting there, because the Gesundheit isn't a gotcha. It's a, just so you know, I gotcha.
Okay. Again, I'm gonna stick to my theory though.
And that's fine. Let's put a poll on the website. Let's ask the audience.
I hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying, but I just don't buy it, because I would think that if what you're saying is true, Garber didn't need to open the door again with the sneeze. He would have just either left Rico there and gone to go get the warrant and come back. It's like what you're basically saying is the Gesundheit doesn't add to his suspicion any more than it already does. To me, the Gesundheit is the giveaway. You know, because he heard this, I guess, same type of sneeze just a few hours earlier. You know, throughout the numerous times. But again, we can agree to disagree on this. It's fine.
Well, absolutely, yes. I love the back and forth on this. But to me, for what you just said there, the Gesundheit and the look back through the door is for the audience. Like that's just the movie trick of it, like letting us know that was the gotcha moment. After the credits roll and after I'm driving home from the movie, I'm just going to look at it and go, well, wait a minute, that's not really a gotcha moment. But I do want to point out too, you mentioned that it's a good thing that the door wasn't one of those ones that latched. I argue that maybe it would have been an even better ending if it was one of the doors that locked itself. And instead of him opening the door back up and having this look, which it's an adorable look by Watermathau. I love it. It's an amazing ending. I'm not poo-pooing on the ending at all. But I think it would be much, much better if you just got the Gesundheit through the door. And then that was left to the audience to know whether that was a gotcha moment or not. Just the funniness of seeing a door and just hearing Gesundheit.
Yeah, but you still need the gotcha look. That's the thing.
That's right. Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't get rid of the gotcha look. I just thought it'd be funnier if he had to say it through the door. he rattles the door handle a couple of times before he says it.
You're saying that it would have been more difficult for him to open the door to be able to get
yes,
in.
Yes.
No, even if
I was going from a more humorous stand. Yes.
Right. Even if Green had the time to run over to the door and you know close the latch, you know, that's right. Everything, and then it would have only opened it enough through the chain of the latch.
Right. Yeah. What a different ending to a classic movie to just hear. And then whoa, 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 whoa.
Exactly. That's what we got.
That's what we got, guys. These are the jokes.
And then at this point, as you said, the music starts coming along and we start getting the credits of the various characters. We have only four characters listed right at the beginning. You have Garber, Blue, Green, and Gray. You know, Walter Matthau, Robert Shaw, Martin Balsam, and Hector Elizondo. And then it continues with co-starring in order of appearance. You know, so I like the way that they do that. Then they give us Brown, Danny Doyle, Carell, the Mayor, Kaz Dalowitz, Mrs. Jenkins, Rico Patrone, Patrolman James, Police Commissioner, Borough Commander, Mayor's Wife, Inspector Daniels. Did you know that the Mayor's Wife was Doris Roberts?
I did not. I saw it in the credits. I had to go back and watch it again. I did not realize that. No.
Yeah. and then we had a list of the hostages. You know, as we've mentioned numerous times, they're all referred to just by their traits. You know, they don't have names. You have the maid, the mother, the homosexual, the secretary, the delivery boy, the salesman, the hooker, the old man, the older son, the Spanish woman, the alcoholic, the pimp, co-ed number one, the younger son, co-ed number two, the hippie, and the wasp, which, again, I've talked about this numerous times over the last 101 episodes, but I just love the way that, you know, these characters are all generic. It doesn't matter who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they're more or less saying here. Because some of them were able to identify who they are based on this characterization of them, and some of them we have no idea who they are. Like I was never able to figure out who the homosexual is specifically, or who the maid is as opposed to the secretary.
Right. The script writers are like, I can come up with names and backstories for all these characters, or I can focus on the actual story of the movie. You pick.
Right, exactly. And also again, the delivery boy and the salesman, no idea who they are. The ones that we do know who they are is the mother, the hooker, the old man, the older son, The Spanish woman, I guess you can assume who it is because there is a woman who keeps speaking in Spanish, so it must be her. The alcoholic is the woman who's pretty much comatose through most of the entire movie.
Right.
The pimp, we know who it is. We know who the two co-eds are. We know who the younger son is. We know who the hippie is, who's the cop, and the wasp. And then we get the word with, and it's about to give us another group of people on there, but people are gonna have to come back in tomorrow to find out who this is with. So yeah, did you have anything else you wanted to mention about this particular minute?
I do not. Most of my notes revolved around the Gesundheit and Columbo man. I do want to shout out, since he wasn't in 1 minute, once again, Hector Elizondo, A Case of Immunity, a Columbo episode, plays an Arab bigwig at a consulate who kills a couple guys. And yeah, go watch Columbo, guys.
Joe, welcome. Right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called Hijack Hump Day, where my guest will give their top five movies featuring some sort of hijack. So once again, start with your number five and work your way up.
Nice. This one was a little bit more difficult for such a big topic as hijacking. If you do some Google searches, not a whole lot of movies are classified as that. So I had to do some thinking on this one. Number five, we have Air Force One, the Indiana Jones as the President movie. Only thing I remember watching it when it first came out, so I was younger, obviously. But just thinking, why is Harrison Ford the president, or why is Indiana Jones the president? And the key line from the trailer is, "Get off my plane." That's all I got for that one. But still, it was a good movie. I remember digging it when I was a kid. And then we have this movie, Taken to Pelham 1, 2, 3. I was going to be cheeky and put the two remakes in there as well, so it could be three of my five, but I wasn't going to give those two the credit. There are much, much better movies that have hijacking in them than those two. Number three, we have Speed. My introduction to Keanu Reeves. I did not know Bill and Ted at that point. This was the first time I got to see Keanu in a movie. But obviously, the bus hijacking can't go under a certain Speed movie. Hence the name. Number two, and this was tough to choose between these two, but I gave the nod for number two to Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Again, seems like planes are kind of the more traditional hijacking, excuse me, movies. So be able to have a subway in ours makes it that much better. But Die Hard 2, this is when Bruce Willis went from big to huge as an action movie star. He was able to do it again, and just all the funness of any Die Hard movie in the first 2.5 to 3. Let's forget the rest of them.
Oh, come on. I've done all five. Going back to season two, I heard you. So there you go.
And I
I do
commend
like the
I
trilogy.
commend you.
I do like the trilogy.
Some people enjoy a challenge, and I commend you for doing all of them. That's why I try to stay away from series as much as possible, because there's inevitably going to be the ones. But I'll respect that. Number one, Con Air. I mean, let's face it. That's if you want the impetus of Nicolas Cage really becoming Nicolas Cage before he became Nicolas Cage. And now today's Nicolas Cage. And for movie people that follow Nicolas Cage, you knew exactly what I meant by all of those Nicolas Cages. That is kind of the pinnacle for me when it came to his movies. The downhill into the plateau, into the spike of just Nicolas Caginess really started with this movie for me. You have John Malkovich just in an amazing role. You have Steve Buscemi. You have Nicolas Cage. Just a great, great cast. It's a movie that you can turn on at any point and just watch through to the end. It's just good, wholesome family quality time stuff. Con Air is my number one hijack movie.
All right, excellent. That is a great list. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Now we will play the daily game of Name That Remake. Let's see if you can continue your streak.
All right. Wish me luck, guys.
Around we go. Okay. So this is a movie actually that was remade three different times.
Oh boy. Okay.
So the original came out in 1937, and then it was remade in 1954, 1976, okay, and 2018.
Okay.
Okay. Any guess?
I am going to go out on a limb. Did you choose this movie specifically for me?
No.
Okay.
It was random.
Is it A Christmas Carol?
No, it is not.
Oh, no.
The Christmas Carol came out in 1951, not 54.
Well, your original was 36. Oh, yeah, 51 instead of 54. You're right.
All okay, right, well, that's fair. Here, 37. So it's not it.
Okay. I will argue that there's a version of Christmas Carol in every year, but okay. Run the dates by me again. 1936,
37, 37, 54, 76, and 2018. Do you want a synopsis or not yet?
Please, yeah.
A young woman shows up in Hollywood with the dream of becoming a star and falls in love with an actor who has drinking problems. As she gets more popular, he loses popularity.
I have no idea.
Well, in all fairness, the remakes from 76 and 2018 deal with someone in the music field as opposed to in acting. I don't know if that will help a little bit.
A Star is Born?
Yes. Very good.
Woo! Saved it. All right. I embarrassed myself. I embarrassed myself and I saved it. All right. We're good.
Nah, you're good. You're good. You're good. All right. Would you like to once again tell people where they can find Robert Smith?
Absolutely. So in the previous episodes, I mentioned Support Your Local Podcast and Just a Damn Minute. Those are my shows. They have been on a hiatus for a little bit while going through some stuff, but ready to get back and rolling when this drops. Hopefully those will be back live. But you can check me out both at Support Your Local Podcast and Just a Damn, D-A-M-M-E, Minute.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to MovieRobMinute at MovieRob.net. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram. So, Robert, you feel like coming back again tomorrow on Christmas just to talk about one more minute of this movie?
I feel I have to. I'm on a redemption arc. I need to make up for my failures of this one. We will return. Yes.
All right. Until tomorrow.
Gazoon tight. Wah, 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 wah.